Throw my shoe. It's my last week I get to do this. Hey, we're wrapping it up today. If you don't know, my name is Rick, and I do get to be the lead pastor here. And first, let me just say thank you for being here on Father's Day. Dads, I know that for many of you, you wish you were on the golf course or on the boat, or you wish you were somewhere else. But thank you for modeling to your families what it looks like to follow Jesus, to be a Christ follower, and to show up. So we're glad that you guys are here. We're glad that all of you are here too. In South County, we're glad that you guys are down there as well. Today, we wrap up this series called Won't You Be My Neighbor. You know, we've been looking at Mr. Rogers. You know, what an amazing life Mr. Rogers, and what an impact he has had. In fact, last week we talked about how he continued to show up and teach kids to love your neighbor as yourself. And he did that as well as describing or sharing with them that they have a responsibility globally to their global neighbors, and how he showed up and introduced them to other cultures and how to speak other languages. And that was amazing. But I want you to think about this. You know, Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, passed away in 2003. And in 2003, they reorged his company, renamed his company to the Fred Rogers Company. And think about this, that since 2003, that those people continue to reflect the heart of Mr. Rogers. They continue to educate educators who work with children. His company continues to work with television programming taking the principles, taking the heart that Mr. Rogers had, and helping them to produce television that's for children. And think about in 2018, when they a movie director, wrote a script for Mr. Rogers' life, and Tom Hanks plays that role, and how they depicted the impact of just one encounter of a journalist, a cynical, critical journalist whose life was really spiraling out of control. And Mr. Rogers walked into his life, loved him right where he was, cared about him. And Mr. Rogers thought it was all fake, thought it was all, you know, that's just for the stage, the TV. But no, Mr. Rogers was that way and personally reached out to this journalist, and it changed his life. People continue to show up. When there's a crisis, a community crisis, the Fred Rogers continues to show up. His company, Fred Rogers' company, shows up in those communities to try and help the children to deal with those crises, even after his death. They try to reflect the heart of Mr. Rogers. And today, on this Father's Day, I want us to think about reflecting the heart of God, our Heavenly Father. And to do that, I want you to think about this line, right? You're just like your father. Now, that can be said one of two ways, right? And one way can be very encouraging, you know, in the tone that it's brought. Man, you're just like your father. Love that about you, right? And then there's the tone, you're just like your father. Ugh, right? You don't have to say anything more, right? And we can reflect our father. I remember sometimes it's not even your fault that you reflect your father, right? My son was at a stoplight, and it was in the summer. His windows are rolled down, and someone rolled up beside him, and he's in Warwick, and this guy looks over at him, and Jonathan can tell that someone's staring at him, and he looks over, and the guy yells out at him, "Is your father Rick Moore?" Sometimes they're just cursed, right? You know, they just look like they resemble their father. But many times, it doesn't matter if you're guy or girl, you reflect the father, your biological father, in his maybe nonverbal words, in his actions, and the way he shows up in a room. Maybe you somehow, that has just like transferred into you, and you show up, or you have that posture that your father has. We pick that up from just hanging out with being with. There's a thing of proximity that plays into that. And the same is true with our Heavenly Father. If you and I are going to reflect the heart of our Heavenly Father, there has to be what John talks about, the Apostle John talks about remaining in or abiding in, meaning staying connected to the Father. Wouldn't the ultimate, I mean, think about this. The ultimate compliment would be to hear, you're just like your Heavenly Father. Could you imagine if somebody said that to you and at your workplace or in your neighborhood, your neighbors walked over and they're just like, man, I know you reflect like God. You, the way that you show up with grace to that really hard to love person, the way that you respond to your boss who's out of control. What if your coworkers told you that you reflect your Heavenly Father? Wouldn't that be the ultimate compliment? If we could reflect, do you know that Jesus is doing that? Jesus is looking for Christ followers who will reflect the heart of the Father. And what is the heart of the Father? The heart of the Father is to fill His house. That's what we're going to look at today. And when we say, fill His house, the heart of the Father is to fill His house, we don't mean a church building. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about the multiple churches. We're talking about bringing His kingdom both locally and globally. And this morning, in our passage, in our text, we're going to see that Jesus is looking for those with a heart to fill His Father's house. So take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 14. In Luke chapter 14, that's where we're going to see this truth of Luke chapter 14. We're going to start in verse number 12. In verse number 12, because we're going to start into the story, I want to just give you some of the context here. So Jesus is at another one of these dinner parties. And He's with the Pharisees again. He's hanging out. He was invited by a Pharisee, and the Pharisee had a bunch of other Pharisees over, these religious people and these religious teachers. And so they're all sitting around this table. It must be a big party because some people start leaking in. And as they get in there, there are people who are in need. And one guy who shows up needs healing. There's something going on with his legs. And so Jesus just reaches over and He heals them. The thing was, it was the Sabbath. So that, you know, that raised the eyebrows of the Pharisees. And then Jesus then goes into this thing about pride and humility. Why? Because all these religious people were vying for the seat of importance around the table. And Jesus just launches into the idea of humility is much better. Show up with a posture of humility than with pride. But then He turns the focus, in verse 12, He turns the focus to the host, to the Pharisee who's there. And here's what He says in verse number 12. Then He turned to His host. He says, when you put on a luncheon or a banquet, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, and your rich neighbors, for they will invite you back. That will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then, at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Now, don't forget, Jesus is telling a story or a parable for the point of a spiritual illustration. This isn't about having some kind of dinner party at your house or some kind of cookout. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And Jesus is telling us, and He specifically points out the type of people who we need to make sure that we're inviting, the poor, the crippled, the lame, those who can't walk. Why does He do that? Because that's exactly how any person who gets into the kingdom of God needs to come with that kind of posture. You and I need to have the posture. We don't deserve this grace that has been given to us. We don't deserve the mercy that has been showered over us. We need to show up with that kind of humility that Jesus has already talked to them about their pride. And He's trying to bring this back around and saying, hey, you know what? You can't even get invited. You can't show up into the kingdom by earning it, because all those religious people around the table, they were trying hard. They were trying hard to earn favor with God. But that's exactly the opposite of what grace is. Grace is undeserved, merited favor on our behalf, given to us, not because we deserve it, not because we earn it. In fact, we're going to sing a song in a minute about that. We don't earn it. We don't deserve this. And we know he's talking about the kingdom of God and not some cookout. And here's why. Because hearing this, another man who was sitting at the table with Jesus all of a sudden exclaimed. He says, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. What amazing time that's going to be when that banquet happens. Because one day that banquet's coming. One day there's going to be a day when all Christ followers, and we're not just talking about here in Rhode Island. We're not just talking about the United States. We're talking about globally. Every tongue, every tribe, every nation, when we all will be there to worship the Lamb who is worthy, as Revelation chapter 5, and it spells it out in Revelation chapter 5 very clearly, that people from every tribe, every nation, and every tongue will be there to worship and to say, worthy is the Lamb of God. That is a thing. That will be true. But here's a question for you. The question is this: have you accepted your invitation from Jesus to trust him as Savior? Because that's what Jesus is really talking about. Have you come to Jesus as a poor beggar who doesn't deserve it, who doesn't deserve the grace? Have you received the invitation with that kind of heart? Because that's who Jesus is inviting to come and be a part of the kingdom of God. If you haven't accepted that yet, then your very first next step is to trust Jesus as your Savior. And that's why on the connection card, you'll see this step. You'll see it says, I need to come to Jesus and trust him as one who can never repay, as one who doesn't deserve it, that you don't earn your seat at the table. That God has lavishly given grace, extended grace and his mercy over you. And his love has transformed you from the inside out. So that you can love your neighbor as yourself. This is where it all starts. Man, we would love to pray for you. On the hard copy, if you're at our South County location, pull out that connection card. On the hard copy, just give us your name and your phone number. If you're here in this room, give us your name and phone number on that hard copy. If you're online, just click on that connection card link. Or you can text the word trust to our texting number, which is 401-496-9710. And when you do that, you'll get this instant reply. Make sure you click on that link, because that's where you give us your name and your phone number so that we can actually reach out to you and have a conversation with you about how you can accept that invitation from God. Now, back in the text, Jesus, this man has just said, won't it be an exciting thing? Won't it be an exciting thing when we're at this banquet, this banquet with God? That's going to be, what a blessing is what this man says. And so here's what Jesus does. Jesus replies with another story. He's going to put this, he's going to tell a story because he's got a spiritual point he's trying to get across. And it says, Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. That's because that's what Jesus does. That's what God does. He sends out an invitation for all to come. All are welcome. It's just a matter of what you do with that invitation. And when the banquet was ready, so he sent this invitation out. Now the banquet is ready. So now he sent his servant to go tell the guests, hey, it's ready. Come. You know, they didn't have texting. They're not pulling out their phone. Hey, it's ready. You know, come. It was like, this was a deal. This was a real deal. A lot of prep had to go into this. So now it's ready. And Jesus says, come. The banquet is ready. But they all began making excuses. Just pause right there for a second. Think about the excuses. What excuses are you making for not reflecting the heart of the Father? Maybe some of you are here or you're listening and you have your excuse is about not accepting the invitation into the kingdom. And you have a whole list of reasons why. But for some of you, you are Christ followers. But you have your excuses for not reflecting the heart of our Heavenly Father. In this parable, in this story that Jesus tells, he hits on three different areas that people use as excuses. And so he says, one said, I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. I'm tapping out. Another said, I now have a wife, so I can't come. Think about these excuses. Think about the excuses that we use. Materialism. Goals that we have set, that we have our eyes so focused on some goal that one day I'm going to have X. For this one guy, it was 5 oxen. One day I'm going to have that, and you fill in the blank. And you're so focused on that, that you forget about the bigger picture of why God really has you here to reflect the heart of Him. He uses relationships. I mean, here's this one guy. He's like, well, I can't, you know, it's my wife. I've got these relationships that are keeping me from reflecting the heart of God. Some of them is this about, hey, I've got this investment over here. I've got to keep my eye on the investment. I can't reflect the heart of God. Hey, dads, let me just encourage you for a second. You know, I know it's Father's Day, and I know it's so easy for all of us to get off track. I have found myself there many of times of forgetting about the bigger picture of why I'm really here. And it's easy to get caught up in our work and to get off track. But I wonder if today, if somehow work or career hasn't become an excuse for you not to reflect the heart of the Father. I wonder if somehow you haven't used relationships as a reason why you can't reflect the heart of the Father. I wonder if somehow you are investing in something or you're saving for something and somehow that has got you off track from reflecting the heart of the Father. You've gotten yourself so involved in this other area that you forgot about the bigger picture that is about the kingdom of God. Fathers, today could be the day that you realign, that you reorient yourself. That you align yourself back up to the heart of the Father. Don't let this Father's Day be just any other Father's Day. Let it be a day of realignment. Let it be a day of where you realign your life back to the heart of the Father. But here's what we know. We know it's true no matter if you're a dad or not. This applies to any one of us. It doesn't matter if you're a woman in a career. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're a stay-at-home mom. It doesn't matter if you're a teacher, a bus driver, a truck driver. It doesn't matter what you do. For all of us in our life, it's so easy for us to forget the bigger picture. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the day-to-day that we forget there's a bigger picture and it's about the kingdom of God. So, the question is this about your excuses. The question is, what excuses are you using not to engage the heart of your Heavenly Father? Hey, students, if you're a student in here, if you're in elementary school, listen to me. It's so easy for school to consume you. It's so easy for your college courses to consume you. It's so easy for that to consume you. You forget that God has you here for a bigger reason. It's so easy for you to think that my identity is all wrapped up in who I am with this peer group. It's so easy to get caught up in that.
But man, if you could tear down that wall now, that will just help you propel. You'll be so much further ahead than maybe even where your parents are. Because let me tell you, your parents struggle with what their peers think about them. When they go to work, they struggle with, man, if I do this, if I do that, if I live out the values of God's heart here, what are people going to think? If I bow my head and pray over my lunch, what are they going to think? I'm some weirdo? They struggle with that. But man, if you, students, if you can learn how to find your identity in who you are as a son or a daughter of Jesus now, that you're going to be so much further ahead than where maybe some of your parents are. So learn that now. Tear that wall down. Don't find your identity in what your friends think of you. Find your identity in who Jesus says that you are. And then for all of us, students to grandpas and grandmas, what if we turned our excuses into a platform to express the heart of the Father? What if you took your very career or your job and instead you reoriented yourself to this idea that God has you there in that place for a time like this to live out the kingdom of God? That's why you are at work. You are at work to bow your head over your lunch and pray some simple prayer so that people are like, what is he? Does he got a headache? Is he like resting his eyes? Does he take a nap every time he eats? Look at that. Watch it. Watch what Rick does every time before he eats. He like takes a nap. He closes his eyes. Is he sleeping? No. And questions are going to be asked. People are going to be like, dude, why do you respond? How do you respond like that? When the boss said that to you, when your teacher said this to you, how come you just didn't stand up and put them in their place? Because I'm a Christ follower and Jesus calls us to respect all people. And so I just want to be respectful in how I respond. How do you do that? I don't know. It's just trying, learning about who Jesus is and who God is, and somehow it's reflected in my heart. Somehow it just comes out. Just like it comes out in your kids as they watch you. They watch how you respond. And because they have watched you long enough, they've been around you long enough, and how you respond, many times we find our kids responding just like how we have responded. And that should be the same for every Christ follower. Because you hang out with Jesus, because you're so connected to Jesus, you respond how Jesus responds. It's not something that you have to try to do. It's just something that happens because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you as a Christ follower. And it transforms you from the inside. And so it comes out. So it's not about trying harder, try harder, try harder. It's just about letting Jesus transform you from the inside out. Whatever your venue, whatever your excuse, if it's about investing, if it's about a vacation, still plan and go on that vacation, but realize there's a bigger picture. God wants you to show up in Disney, not to be, the happiest person on earth there, but it's to share the best message of hope ever. And look for doors of opportunity. Look for ways that you can just share that message of hope. If you're at Disney or Six Flags or on the beach, wherever you go. We can use that not as an excuse, but as a platform to reflect the heart of God. You can do that. We can do that. What do you do when somebody knocks at your door and they're like, hey, I'm here to sell you some solar panels. You need to have solar panels. Well, let me tell you what one of our partners does and how they respond. Because I got a phone call and they called me. They said, Rick, I just had a blessed time. He called it this glorious experience with Jesus. You won't believe what happened. I said, what? He said that we had some people in our neighborhood trying to sell solar panels. And so I said, their response they used the platform, and not an excuse, they used this as a platform, and they said, well, we'll listen to your sales pitch about the solar panels, and I'll think about it, but you've got to give me some of your time too. And so the person said, okay. And so there's these two young guys, you know, trying to sell their, they finished their whole spiel. And then Mr. Porter says, I pulled out a You Matter card. And I said, well, I just want you to know that you matter, which launched into a 45-minute conversation about how Jesus can take your life and fill you with hope. And at the end of that conversation, one of those young men, he said, if you pulled up my name, you would see that I've been in trouble with the law. I've been a part of a gang. I've done this. I've done that. Mr. Porter says, Jesus wipes it all away if you would just invite him into your life. And right there in his lawn, the young man prayed and bowed his head to receive Jesus as his Savior. That's what I'm talking about. Take, instead of being an excuse, instead of being like, oh, just get out of here, you're taking up my time, I've got something more important to you. No, he used that as a platform, not an excuse, to be able to share the love of God with somebody who many of you would find very annoying. You know what that door like. You know when Verizon comes around and says, hey, sign up with me, right? No one likes that. You know, they never come at the right time, and no one wants to listen to that spiel. But here's somebody who took the time to listen and used it not as an excuse to shoo somebody away, but as a platform to share, to reflect the Father's heart. This is what I'm talking about. And this is what God calls us to. Back in our text, and the servant returned and told his master that what they had said. He went back and said, you won't believe it. They have all these excuses. What do we do? His master was furious and said, go quickly. And this is important because this is the heart of God. There is a sense of urgency that every Christ follower should have because our time is limited. If it's not limited by our age, because we're all going to age out at some time, we're all going to tap out at some point. If it's not limited by that, then it's limited by when Jesus really does come back. Because Jesus is going to come back. And one day it's going to be too late to accept the invitation. And so there's a sense of urgency. Go quickly and go into the streets and the alleys in the town. Invite the poor, the crippled, and the blind, and the lame. Why? Because that needs to be the posture of any person who comes into the kingdom of God. I am a broken person. Rick Moore is broken. But Jesus showed up and brought healing inside of me. And he wants to do that in you. This needs to be the posture of any one of us. And this sense of urgency needs to be our posture. That this is our main purpose. Whether I teach school, drive a bus, or run an office. Our posture should be intensely about making sure that we are building the kingdom of God. And again, this isn't about this church or our South County location. That's not what this is about. This is about the kingdom of God. And this is why we have an Acts 1:18. Our Acts 1:18 comes right from the scripture about going into Jerusalem. Be a witness filled with power in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And how we have broken up our Acts 1:18, they help us stay focused locally. A part of Acts 1:18 is our local outreach team where they help us build bridges into the community. In fact, just this past week, I was able to go to our South County location and sit with some folks down there. And we started just praying, God, open doors of opportunity, how we can serve Westerly and Charlestown area. And in the fall, we're going to invite all of us to show up down there in some way. We don't know yet, but we're praying. However God calls us to show up, he's going to reveal a need that's down there in Westerly. And we're all going to drive, 45 or 50 minutes or an hour for some of you, maybe 60 minutes to get down there. And we're just going to, bless that community. And let them know that there's a church that cares about them because we want to reflect the heart of God in Westerly. So we have a local outreach team. We have a global outreach team. We talked a lot about that last week. And in fact, I hope that last week that you got all 20 of our partners that we pray for. If you didn't get this, then you can pick it up. There's still some left out on the boxes by the offering boxes. So on your way out, you can grab this. If you need one, you're watching online, call the office. We'll help you get one. But I hope that you are praying. Today, we are praying for two of our global partners. Today, it's listed. Right? This is a way that you can keep in the forefront of your mind that we have a global responsibility to our neighbors. And you can be praying for them and investing in that. And then we have a strategic focus. Our strategic focus is on the country of Yemen. We are focused on that country, praying for that country, praying that God would take this war-torn country and He would bring peace and healing and restore it. There is so much going on in that country. You Google that and you'll find all kinds of horrible stuff that's happening there. We need to be praying for the country of Yemen. That's why. Because Jesus tells us to go quickly. Because He's coming back. And those people in Yemen deserve an opportunity to hear about Jesus. Because Revelation 5 says there's going to be people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue. If you believe that, then you will live with a sense of urgency. This is real. But he goes on, and after the servant had done this, after he went to the city, after he went to the alleys, look what happens. He says, there's still more room. There's still more room there. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge everyone you find. This invitation is for everyone. You do not wait until you find the right person who has the right views and outlook on life. No, it's for anyone and everyone. Regardless of where they are, regardless of how whacked out you think they are, or jacked up you think they are, this is for everyone. And it's our responsibility as Christ followers to reflect the heart of God, to reveal and to show and to demonstrate the love of God. Why? Because here it is, so that the house will be full. And again, it's not the church. This is the kingdom. He's talking about the kingdom of God so that His kingdom will be full. That's the heart of the Father. Is that your heart? Are you reflecting the heart of the Father? If not, on your connection card, we want to pray for you. And I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray that this would stay a number one priority in my own heart and that I would live this out. But it says, pray I would reflect the Father's heart to fill His house and to be led into action toward all of my neighbors, my local neighbors, my global neighbors we have a responsibility to, that we would be led into action. There's so many ways that we can do this. In fact, locally, one way that you can show up locally to and partner with that local outreach team is the Refugee Dream Center had called us this week and said, we are in serious need of volunteers for this coming Saturday. We're like, hey, thanks for the great notice. But for this coming Saturday, they need a lot of volunteers. Things from set up, just welcoming people to their site, cooking on grills, there's all different ways. Providing transportation for refugees to actually come and experience this day. And man, think about this. If you were a driver, if you went and picked up a family, what if you got them in your car? And they're in the back seat and you pull out one of your You Matter cards and you said, hey, I just want you to know you matter. That's why I'm driving you. And you know what? I want you to know that you matter to God. And I want you to be able to experience the hope that God has changed my life. I hope that you have that experience with God as well. And maybe you can share your story of how God has filled your life up with hope. Who knows? There's volunteering just to oversee the bouncy house while the kids go crazy inside there, right? There's 100 ways to volunteer on this coming Saturday. I know it's short notice, but man, it would be great if we were able to show up there and just say, hey, we're here to serve, demonstrate the love of Jesus. And their director, Omar, who is not a Christ follower, but man, we could go there and demonstrate the love of Jesus to him. Maybe you want to be a part of that. On the connection card, it says, I'm willing to help the Refugee Dream Center this coming Saturday. Let us know. If you give us your name and your phone number, we'll get you connected to the Refugee Dream Center. And we can live out the love of God. If you need prayer, text us or, you know, use the connection card, but you can text us. Pray. The word pray to our texting number and let us know how to pray for you. Because we want to be a church. And when I say church, I'm talking about people. We want to be a people who reflect the heart of God wherever we go, wherever we show up. We want to reflect Him. I want to pray for us. And as I pray for us, I'm going to ask the ushers to bring the offering boxes forward because we want to also demonstrate our faith to God by giving a percentage of our income back to God to invest for kingdom purposes. That's where this money goes. This money, in fact, there is a in your bulletin, there's a specific way for you to be praying for our global partner where a percentage of your money goes to help support Carrie and Lil. Carrie and Lil are helping to reach some of the least reached people groups of the entire world. The entire world. They want to make sure that people from that tongue, from that nation, from that tribe show up in Revelation 5 because one day that's going to be a reality. And they in Revelation 5, when they are crying out, when we all are worshiping together and every tongue saying, you are worthy, Jesus. And you could have a part in that by investing financially. So, Father, I pray that we would be a people that would reflect your heart. God, I'm praying. I'm praying, God, that our church would be transformed because of our experience. Our experience of grace and mercy in our own life. And God, we know that this isn't about us trying harder or gritting our teeth and saying, you know, we can do it, we can do it. God, this is about you transforming us to where we just naturally reflect the heart of you. So God, come and bring that kind of transformation in me. Come and bring that type of transformation in our church family. God, we know that you're for Rhode Island. God, we want to reflect that heart. And God, we know that you are for every tribe and every nation and every tongue. And so, God, we lift up Carrie and Lil to you. And God, you know the struggle that their son is going through right now, health-wise. We're praying, God, that you would reach down from heaven and bring healing to his body. Please, Father. And God, we pray that you'll continue to use them as they reach out to this one of the least reached people groups. God, use them. Continue to open doors. And Father, you know it's all about underground there in the country that they're trying to serve because they would be put in jail or put to death. So God, we pray that you'll give them those inroads and show them the doors to bring this good news, the transforming love, the hope, the living hope that you give us. Jesus, thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for bringing transformation in us. And thank you for bringing transformation in the life of Carrie and Lil. Use them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.